Let us pray. Lord, I pray now that you take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them wholly yours, that in this time and place and space, you might be speaking to us, and that as you speak, our hearts be prepared for the transformation you offer. Be with us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I begin today's sermon, I want to begin by asking you if you have a favorite bad guy. Do you have a favorite bad guy? I have a favorite bad guy. I want to see if we can cue his bad guy music first. See if you can figure it out. It's coming. It's coming. Oh man, is Darth Vader a bad guy or what? He's my favorite bad guy. We'll cue that down from up there. That's awesome. Perfect. Darth Vader is my favorite bad guy. Now, you know, I would think any sermon that begins with Darth Vader is going to be a winner. If you don't know who Darth Vader is, I do not know where you've been since 1977. Because that's when Star Wars came out. Okay? I was one when Star Wars came out. So I've grown up with Darth Vader. That's right. What do you think about that? I'm a bicentennial baby. Darth Vader is my favorite bad guy. He's one of my favorite bad guys because you want him to do the right thing. You want him to do the right thing, and you know what? Eventually, right, by the end of the whole Star Wars series, he does. He's a bad guy that turns good. We like stories about bad guys becoming good, don't we? Because we know that when bad guys become good, that it's possible for us to do the same. For us to change too. The story of Zacchaeus is the story of a bad guy turning good. This is how God turns someone from bad to good. So I want to walk with you through the story of Zacchaeus today and shed some light on this very familiar story so that we can eventually get to the point of today's sermon. But sometimes, so often, in Bible stories that are familiar, we don't notice the little nuances. So let's take a deeper look at this story. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to chapter 19. We're going to be starting in verse 1, just kind of working through this narrative today. 19, 1 and 2 says this, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now Jesus is on his way, y'all. He's on his way to Jerusalem for the final time. Okay? So, in a sense, it's his death march. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. And on his way, he's stopping at different towns along the way. As he goes, why? He's healing, restoring sight to the blind, spending time with people. So, he's on his way. Now, look, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Jesus coming to your town was a big deal. Not just because he was the Son of God, but he was like the rock star of his age, right? Healers, teachers, things like that. Like, they didn't have like computers and tablets and smartphones or even phones that were mounted on the wall with cords hanging from them. Y'all remember those ancient things? But children, my children have no idea that there's such a thing as a corded phone. We used to have a phone that was on the wall, you know, and it had the big cord that you could stretch wherever in your house. Or they didn't have Ataris either, or TVs, or VCRs. Boy, I'm really getting old. I'm dating myself now, huh? They didn't have 8-track players. How about that? No? Records. They didn't didn't have much for entertainment. Let's say it like that. So it was a big deal when a traveling teacher, preacher, or prophet came to your town. But one with the reputation of Jesus, now that's something magnificent. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he stops in Jericho. You know what else I noticed about this little nuance? We see God's plan. See, God has a big plan, but sometimes we forget God has little plans. God's big plan was to go to Jerusalem for his son to be crucified on the cross, to be resurrected and ascended into heaven. But along the way, there were little plans working out in people's lives. And God's little plan was to stop in Jericho and address Zacchaeus' heart. Verse 2 says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and he was wealthy. Now, you should know that in Jericho at that time, it was kind of like a toll booth. You know how when you're on that old Pennsylvania Turnpike and they charge you money for driving on their road, which in my state would be unconstitutional, but that's nonetheless, I don't know, I don't get that. It was a toll booth. It was a toll booth. People going from east to west had to pay customs when they stopped there. And it was also one of the wealthiest cities in Palestine. It was even home to one of Herod's palaces. Well, Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector there. And the passage says he was wealthy. Now, as chief tax collector, he would have been in charge of both sales taxes and custom taxes. Now, think about this. I used New York City as an example earlier, but you think of any city, and in my hometown in Johnson City, Tennessee, sales tax is 10 cents a dollar. Right? We may not have toll booths, but good night. We make up for it in sales tax. So in a town of 65,000 people, let's say, imagine being the person in charge of all the sales tax. And he was also the person in charge of all the custom taxes too. Everybody coming and going through there, he was in charge of that. And he had people working for him. Zacchaeus, he may have been a little man in size, but he was a big man when it came to business. He had people working for him. And the passage of Scripture tells us that he would have been wealthy without cheating people. But apparently he cheated people to boot. So he was real, real rich. And they got that way from being real, real bad. Verse 3 says he wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So here comes rock star Jesus. Zacchaeus wants to see him. This short, rich, mean little man. You know what my image of this? You guys ever see that movie, It's a Wonderful Life? My image for that is Mr. Potter. You know? So it's Christmas time. I can think of those things. Well, it may be not Christmas time for you, but my tree's up. So, you know, so I'm thinking, I mean, he's mean, right? And he wants to see Jesus come into his town. And so I can just see him. I can see him, he's in his house. He hears Jesus is coming. So he starts booking it down the road, right? Can you see him? He's running and he's got his sandals on and the dust is kicking up everywhere and the sand is flying here and there. But he's not the only one, right? Other people, they're running to see that Jesus is coming too. They're trying to find the right place, kind of like the Macy's Day Parade, right? They're trying to find the right place to see Jesus as he comes in. And because Zacchaeus is shorter than everybody else, he can't run as fast. And so he's literally left in like a cloud of dust, right? You know, so he's lagging behind, but then all this dust and sand is kicking up. I can just see it getting in his teeth and his mouth. But he just wants to see Jesus. So he just keeps running. He finds this sycamore fig tree, okay? And he shimmies up the tree. Now, he could have sat on somebody's shoulders, right? But he didn't have any friends. He could have been on the roof of somebody's house. But again, he didn't have any friends. So he just shimmies. This little guy, maybe 4'8", 4'9", okay? He shimmies up the tree just so he can get a view of Jesus. Verse 4 says, "So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way." When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people began to mutter, "He is gone to be the guest of a sinner." Can you see the little church ladies? Oh my God. Now look, guys, you are just as bad at gossiping. But I'm imagining my mamaw's church. Little Southern Baptist church. You know, ladies are wonderful. But boy, when they get together, sometimes and I'm seeing. Oh my gosh, can you believe Jesus went to his house? Oh. Can you believe that? Reputation like Zacchaeus. All the evil he's done. Jesus comes into town and he stops at the foot of this sycamore fig tree and he looks up at Zacchaeus and says, "Son, get down here. Get down here. I'm going to your house to eat." Man, that's humble. Because everybody knew, including Zacchaeus, what a scoundrel he was. Oh, that's humbling. Jesus says, "I must." That word "immediately" means must. It's a divine imperative. It's God saying, "This is going to happen. This has got to happen. I've got to go to your house." This is the will of God. See, God's plan. God's plan is not just for all of us, but individually us as well. God's got a plan for you. Now, we don't know if some time passed between this verse and then the next where Zacchaeus stands up and says to the Lord. We're not sure if time passes, if they go to the house and they eat and all that. Passage doesn't tell us. But apparently, something happened that changed Zacchaeus' life. Something happened that changed Zacchaeus' life. Verse 8 says, "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.'" Now, Jewish law required, I think it's 20% or two times the amount. So he's doubling it. He's saying, "Everything, I'll pay it back." But he's not just talking about out of his income. See, the response that he had was so powerful to Jesus that he's willing to give out of all of his possessions. See the difference? We may give X number of dollars from our paycheck or something like this. But given, like, I don't know why anybody want, you know, part of my minivan. They could have it. I'm looking for a truck anyways. But you know, imagine giving up a third of everything in your house to make something right. As this story ends, Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." That day, on a dusty road in Jericho, a bad guy became a good guy, because God took the time to love him. Zacchaeus' meeting with Jesus changed his life forever. Why? Because Zacchaeus encountered grace and he received it. Now, I'm firmly convinced that everyone is receiving, or rather is encountering God's grace.
Everyone is encountering God's grace, whether they believe or not. Everyone's encountering it, but not everyone is receiving it. There's a difference, right? God's grace is for everyone, but not everyone receives it. But on that day, on that road, at that tree, that short little, mean little, nasty man received Jesus' love. He received it. He humbled himself. He received it. He allowed it to change him. Now, how could Zacchaeus show his appreciation for God's grace? For God having offered him a chance? For God changing him? Could Zacchaeus pay God back? Could Zacchaeus pay God back? He couldn't. It's impossible to pay God back for the grace that we receive. The only thing that Zacchaeus could do was pay it forward. That's it. He couldn't pay God back. He could only pay God forward. I shared this story at the first service. You should know that in a preacher's family, your life is often fair game for a sermon illustration. Especially if you're my wife. But if you're my children, I ask your permission if I can use a story to illustrate a point. Because sometimes the most wonderful things happen to my children to illustrate a point of God. But I ask their permission. And if they say no, then I don't share it. But I asked my oldest daughter's permission to share this story with you today, and she said yes. Now, remember this next time I just launch into a story about my wife and don't ask her permission. Y'all familiar with the Nintendo Wii? I hope you are by now. With the, you know, the motion remotes and the bowling and the tennis and all that stuff. When it first came out, we got one when it first came out. We maybe had it a year or so. And I think Madison may have been four-ish years old. And she had gotten really good at tennis, Wii tennis. You know, so she'd stand in front of the TV and she'd boom, boom. She was awesome, man. And Haley, well, Haley got good too. They both good. Madison, Matt, on this particular day, I happened to be sitting in my chair and my chair was close to the TV, and Madison was playing tennis, and she was she was giving it. I mean, she was just a whoom, whoom. I was like, this kid's gonna be a pro, you know, because both my children will be president before it's over with, and just like yours, yeah. So she was, but you know what? On this particular day, Madison forgot to attach to her wrist the little, you know what I'm talking about? You're supposed to attach something to your wrist so that if it flies out of your hand, it won't break the TV. Well, so on this particular day, she forgot to attach it to her wrist, and she was sailing those balls, right? And all of a sudden, in front of my face comes this white object, blurry white object. Boom! From back here, why, Madison had lost the controller out of her hand. And so when she went to hit that ball, she went like that, and it flew. I mean, like a thing of beauty from across the room. It was like slow motion. I was like, oh, you know, and boom, there it was, and it hits the flat screen TV, and there immediately there's like a rainbow of color from the TV. I didn't know that was there, and this impact mark, and so now one third of the TV was not usable, and it was getting worse. Now, it was so big. It was so, you know how you're with your kids, you fuss about little things all the time, but the big things you're just like, it's going to be okay. Madison, so sweet. She looks at me and she says, "Daddy, I'll give you my piggy bank." Right? She could have cut my foot off and said that to me, and I'd be like, "Honey, you can have whatever you want." And I said to her, and this is true, I said, "Honey, your piggy bank won't cover it." She said, "What about Haley's?" I said, no, Haley's piggy bank won't cover that either. And of course, at the time, I was finishing seminary, and Amy was, she's still almost done with school. So we were both in school at the same time. So, you know, we weren't flush with cash. We had to save up, and, you know, for X number of months to buy it. But I said to my daughter, I said, "Honey, sometimes the debt is so big that you can't pay it off. You have to hope that someone else will pay it off for you, because you can't." And I used this opportunity to teach Jesus. I said, "This is what God's done for us. Because our debt of sin is so big that we cannot pay it off ourselves. We have to accept God paying it off for us through Jesus. We've got to receive God's gift of grace. This is what God does in Jesus." Now,
if we receive that, the only way we can pay it back is to pay it forward to other people that don't deserve that grace, by reminding ourselves that we don't necessarily deserve it either. As Christians, we are called by God to pay Him back by paying His love forward to other people. Zacchaeus had that life-changing moment with Jesus, and he responded, and then he responded by giving back to others, by paying love forward. You see, paying grace forward is the only way. It's the only way to pay God back. So this day, as we come to Thanksgiving this year, as we have an offering to give to, what's the name of that mission over in Sunbury? Haven Ministry. We pay forward some of that grace. We can only pay God back by paying it forward. I invite you today to consider, what's God calling you to pay forward? Is He calling you to pay forward more of your time, more of your talents, more of your gifts, or your service, or your witness? God does want payment. He wants you to pay His love to others so that they might be changed like you have been and like so many before us, including Zacchaeus, who, by the way, name means righteous one. And that's God's word. Seriously consider this day for the Church of Christ community. All thanks and praise be to our God now and forever. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we do give You thanks for all that You've given us.